Hey, it's Monday, May 28th, and this is Beginner's Puck, the podcast for hockey fans both new and old. Hey, Erica.
Hey, Deb.
Guess what?
What?
It's the Stanley Cup Finals.
My mind is blown at the way that this has played out.
Well, first of all, because we haven't recorded during the whole playoff series because life has been a little manic and, you know, talking about hockey on Slack and living the day job as it is all encompassing and having graduations and children coming home from college and all sorts of things happening. But yeah, it went by so quickly for teams in the Western Conference, sometimes a little too quickly. As there was more than one shutout, thanks to those crazy upstart kids, the Vegas Golden Knights.
It's been weird. It's been I'm not like an old school hockey fan, but one of the things I always really liked about the playoffs was playoff overtime and how the games could just go forever. But yeah, that has not happened. There has been so little overtime. There have been very few close games. It's really been, even if the score seemed a little bit close, it was almost always like one team was blowing out the other team. That's just been a series of back and forth blowouts.
Right. And any given night, it was the other team doing the blowout. Like it wasn't, there wasn't a lot of really super even play. It was weird. It was very weird. And I just, you know, Vegas. And I just keep saying that, like, astonishingly, Vegas. And I love that team. You know, we've talked about this. Even before the Hockey Hunger Games last year, we were all on board for this brand new team. None of us thought that this would happen. Nope. None of us thought that they would make it to the playoffs. None of us thought that they'd get through the playoffs. I mean, I just kept waiting for the collapse. I'm still waiting for the collapse. And they just keep going.
At this point, do you actually think that there is any chance of them collapsing?
I don't.
Me either.
I really don't. And I, but still, if you listen to hockey media, everybody's all in on the Capitals. And I think sentimentally, they're a favorite. And I know sentimentally, they're my favorite going in. Not because I think they're the better team, because honestly, I'm going to be happy with either one of these teams winning. They're two teams that I really enjoy watching play. They're two teams that I have rooted for in the past. Last year, I was pulling for Washington. And just because I want to see that team win the cup. I really want to see that team win the cup. It's just been way too long, and there's some really great players on that team that just this, they've won so many things except this thing. But then again, Vegas is just, you know, the golden misfits is what they call themselves, and you just have to love this team. So,
well, some people really, don't, but I do. Well,
there's this bitterness that was kind of going around Twitter last week.
It's jealousy.
It is totally jealousy. And they're like, they don't deserve it. They haven't earned it. And
it's, yeah, what it's the like, heck is that, people? Like, there's some rule that you need to have been in, like, existence for X number of years before you can actually be successful and win something. That is just ridiculousness.
It is ridiculous. And then the conspiracy theories. Well, the NHL wanted this outcome. The refs had been managing the games. It's like, oh, please.
Maybe if, like, you know, the say 7-8 weeks into the series, if people had been saying at that time, oh, wow, this team is amazing, they are going to go to the cup, then I could believe some of the conspiracy theories, but nobody was saying that. The only thing people were saying was, you know, they got kind of an easy schedule to start off with to you know, give them a bunch of home games and stuff, which is true and which was smart from a financial standpoint. But I didn't hear people saying, you know, any kind of conspiracy theories that early on about reffing or anything. I think people are just better.
Yeah, better. And my favorite, this is my favorite, that people are saying, well, the team was stacked to win. They were given a team of all-stars right out the gate. And I'm thinking, where was this hot take way back in July and August? Because I remember me, the words coming out of my mouth were, this isn't the Vegas team of today. This is the Vegas team that they've got the pieces to trade for the team that they want to be. I remember saying that because they had all of the things that they were, James Neal's contract's coming up. Marc-Andre Fleury's contract is ending next year. These are all bits and pieces that they're going to trade away to get the team that's going to take them to the Stanley Cup Finals. Shame on me. I have egg on my face. I'll admit it.
No, but there were no pundits that I recall that were picking Vegas to go very far at the beginning of the season. And we knew who the team was before the season started. Even,
yeah, yeah.
Even a quarter of the way through, people were just like, nah, the bubble's going to burst. Halfway through, nah, this bubble's going to burst. This isn't really it. Three quarters of the way through, there were still people saying that this is just a fluke and Vegas is not going to go all the way. So I'm sorry to all of you people who are saying Vegas is stacked with great players. You know what? If you couldn't recognize that at the beginning of the year, I don't have any time for you right now.
Nope. Not even a little bit. And honestly, isn't Vegas sort of all of our team? We all have a little
right.
piece
well,
of this
we don't.
Team.
Edmonton has absolutely, like, we have nothing to do with this.
Oh, that's right. They got rid of your guy.
It was Griffin
right?
Reinhart, I believe. And we also beat them twice when we met them. So You can't blame Edmonton for this. It's the rest of the league's fault.
It's everybody else's fault. And that's all right. Well, Pierre-Édouard Bellemare from the Flyers went to Vegas. I'm just thrilled because he's just like a nice guy.
Yeah,
he's just a nice guy. He's French. And he's a nice guy. Like, there's not that many just French players. You know?
No.
There's still kind of a
lot of French Canadian. But
a lot of French Canadian, not that many players from France. And just is just genuinely, and like, he won in Worlds last year. Like, he won the player of the game and he refused to take the watch and gave it to the goalie instead because he said the goalie deserved it. Like, he's that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's on the team and he's going to the Stanley Cup. And I'm just, oh. And I know there's people that feel that way about Nate Schmidt from the Capitals. Mm-hmm. People love Fleury, whether you were a Penguins fan or even if you hated the Penguins, everybody like Marc-Andre Fleury. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm so thrilled for them. I really am. But then I was watching the final Capitals game. And I was in Washington over the weekend because my son was graduating college down there. And we were sitting at a restaurant bar watching, I believe it was game 5 where they lost. And it just, all of the air went out of the room. And then the next morning, we're sitting on the National Mall. And the people in front of me had a newspaper reading about the game loss and just like shaking their heads, like sadly, like, oh, this is it. It's the end. And then they came back with 2 shutouts. And at that point, I'm just like, I think I said on Slack, like, the monkey on Ovechkin's back had spurs because he played like a monster. Just like, not today, Satan. This is not happening again. If I have to single-handedly win this game, whether it's me putting pucks in the goal or not, like, I'm just going for it. And at that mm-hmm. point, I'm like, you know, I'm here for this team.
Yeah.
I'm ready for them. But yeah, it's been,
I'd be happy.
It's been a wild ride.
Either way, because yeah, there have really, once Anaheim got booted out, there for me, there were no villains. So
nope.
I haven't, you know, yes, I was rooting for the Jets because, you know, that was my first team that I had started rooting for when I tried to be a brand new baby hockey fan. And it was a little bit of Canada. So I wanted them to win. But I wasn't terribly brokenhearted when they didn't. I was sad for them. But
yeah. That's it. Like, it would have broken my... Actually, when it got to the Final Four, I was okay with anybody winning. You
yep.
know, I hoped that more other teams would win over another team. But mm-hmm. there wasn't anybody I would have loathed
no.
in the finals at
Which
all.
Makes for an interesting... Like, it's a difference in the energy. Like, there's... I don't feel as invested in it, so it's not as stressful. So...
I'm super invested in it. But then again, I'm a weird hockey fan. I just love hockey. I'm going to watch hockey regardless of who's mm-hmm. playing. My team doesn't even have to be in the sniffing distance of the game. And I'm still kind of there for it. But I do want to throw some bones. And we're talking about the improbability of Vegas and how everybody is saying this team came out of nowhere and stacked with all-stars. There's a guy.
All-stars.
Yeah, right? There's a guy who I think personally is the unsung hero of this team. And if he, and I'm pulling up his name now because I want to make sure that I spell it. If he does not get a Stanley Cup ring, if the Vegas Golden Knights win, I honestly think it's a crime because I can see his fingerprints all over it. And that, of course, is Tom. How do I? Oh, my gosh.
Just guess.
I'm not even gonna try. Anyway, Tom, who was the creator of the General Fanager website. We talked about this last year, and a General Fanager was a hockey statistics site for used primarily for fantasy hockey, NHL fantasy hockey. And he created a little program on there where you could draft this expansion team, the Vegas Golden Knights. Well, whatever his analytics were so good that Vegas hired him. And one of the conditions of his hiring, we talked about this on the podcast, was he had to shutter his site. So General Fanager is no more, and everybody goes to Cap Friendly for all that kind of information. But he basically crunched numbers. And it was that spreadsheet, I'm convinced it was that spreadsheet that put together that spreadsheet along with scouting reports and everything else. All that data was fed into a spreadsheet, and a spreadsheet helped pick the Vegas Golden Knights to the team that they were.
Spreadsheets right rule the world.
They do rule the world. So Tom, here for you. Team Tom, I want you to get a ring.
Yeah, I think the team gets to choose like who gets rings. So I do hope that they determine he's worthy.
I would think, yeah, and there's a really good article. His name is, I'm going to try it. It's a Polish name, Porazka, P-O-R-A-S-Z-K-A. And it was kind of the Moneyball moment for the NHL. They just looked at the pieces and said, how can these pieces work together? So that's what happens when you make your hobby into your career. Mm-hmm. The other thing that was exciting, and I know you were thrilled about, both teams touched the cups at the end of the East Coast Finals and the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, we've talked about this before, how there was a bit of a superstition about touching the conference winning cups.
Thank you, Eric Lindros of the Flyers, for starting that one.
1997. And I think some of the idea behind it was, you know, you're in it for the Stanley Cup, so you shouldn't even bother touching the Prince of Wales Cup or the Campbell Bowl because it's all about the cup, capital.
It's inferior. This inferior trophy.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, for a long time, the teams wouldn't touch it. They would like pose with it. The captain would sort of like lean toward it and they'd take a picture and that would be all. Mm-hmm. And it just drove me nuts. Like it was just so annoying. So when the time came, and first of all, for Vegas, we didn't even know who was going to accept it because Vegas doesn't have a captain.
They don't have a captain.
They didn't bother to name one. So who was it that they actually ended up having?
Oh my gosh, what's his name? The local, the guy who lives there.
I am totally blanking. Like, I know this.
I know, but I'm blanking too.
Anyway,
you
can think of it while I describe what happened. Is like he skated up there and the, I don't know if it's the hockey commissioner or I can't remember what the bald guy, what his position is, but like it was so hilarious. So he grabs one side of it because he's going to have his picture taken. So he grabs the one side of it like by the handle and like just looks at the player like, see, this is how you do it. And there's like this half second of slight hesitation, but not very long. I think he had probably determined that he was going to touch it beforehand anyway. But yeah, he grabs the side of it and it's just like, yeah. And our house just erupted. I mean, Steven was sitting next to me on the couch and he just like, I yelled, but I didn't yell nearly as loud as he did. And we were just cheering and I was literally clapping. I had been playing a video game. I dropped my controller so that I could applaud.
It was Derek Englund.
Oh, yes, of course.
A Vegas native. He actually lived in Vegas and was drafted to Vegas, and he's Mr. Vegas.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, yeah, he touched it, which was great. And then that was kind of the moment that I was like all in. I'm like, okay, all right, Vegas, I can root for you now for sure. I there's no reason to hold back.
Right. And then in Washington, not only did Alexander Ovechkin touch the cup, he grabbed the cup.
Mm-hmm.
He took the cup home. There's pictures on Instagram of him taking the cup on the plane. He probably slept with the cup. And then there's pictures of it on his dining room table at home.
I mean, he was carrying it around with him on the ice everywhere, like every little interview that he did. And he was just, it wasn't like he was holding it out like a, you know, like it was on a pedestal or anything. He was cradling and caressing that sucker.
Yes, it was. It was if it's like they were going to join the Mile High Club. club, him mm-hmm. in the cup, when he got on that plane, he just was not letting go. It was probably strapped in next to him. He probably snuggled up to it and slept overnight. Yeah, it was really funny, and it just, he earned that sucker. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't letting it go. But I want to talk a little bit, too, about these two hockey towns, because, as we know, Vegas, brand new market,
mm-hmm.
and Washington has often been called a minor league market for most of its sports, because D.C. is not a big sports town. There's, unless your sports is politics.
Right.
So those teams kind of don't get the national attention, I think, that many other major markets get. But the fan base for both of these teams has been electric, and there's been lots and lots of talk this year about Vegas. We've talked about Vegas because we were there. We saw what a Monday night in February looked like. I can't imagine what the Stanley Cup playoffs are looking like.
No kidding.
And both teams had open practices before the Stanley Cup. And I saw a tweet come by out of Vegas that said they had to limit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they had to close the doors to practice because so many people were coming out to practice. And for the practice, it wasn't yesterday. It was day before yesterday, Friday, I guess, as we're recording this. And people were lining up at 6:30 in the morning for an 11 o'clock practice. They hit capacity at 9. They had to shut the doors. And there were people waiting just in case some people left
go
in. Yeah.
Yeah.
I
saw that tweet. It was like, the hottest ticket in Vegas next to the Stanley Cup is Stanley Cup practice. And yeah, mm-hmm. then they showed the sign that it was posted on the door, like, sorry for the inconvenience, but this practice is full.
Yeah. So sorry. This is Las Vegas. And everybody said, oh, it's going to be a transient market. You're only going to get out of town people coming in to go to the games. That's not the case.
Nope.
These people love that team. I was listening mm-hmm. to SiriusXM this morning, and they were talking to somebody from the Vegas media. And he asked the guy, he said, it's not just people are excited about this. He goes, it's really, you know, how is it affecting kids? Do you see more kids getting into hockey? Are kids getting excited about this? Because, you know, adults bring a lot of stuff to the table already. But when mm-hmm. you can get kids excited about something, like, you're growing your fan base right there. Like, you need to get that level. And he said that he took his 10-year-old daughter to go see Solo. And he goes, it was an afternoon, it was a matinee, he was in a movie theater filled with kids, and nearly every kid in that movie theater was wearing Vegas Golden Knights garb, a t-shirt
awesome.
Or a jersey or something. He said, kids are crazy about this team. It's the first time they've had a team. It's their first pro sports team.
That's right. That's wonderful.
It is. And just like stuff like that. Mm-hmm. There's lots of talk about why Vegas has embraced this. And of course, there was the shooting and the tragedy and that.
Mm-hmm. But
I built a sense of community, too.
I also think that Vegas is a city that really has an incorrect and bad rap for just being a tourist town, because there are
yeah.
many thousands of people who live there, and that is their home. And mm-hmm. people just tend to forget about that, because for so many people on this continent, like even in Canada, like Vegas is just a place that a lot of people will go for the weekend to, you know, relax and drink and gamble away their money. But that's just the, you know, the shiny veneer. And you actually have a city with a whole bunch of people who have real roots there. And that is where mm-hmm. they live. So, of course, they're going to want to support their team. I think it's maybe a little bit insulting to the city of Vegas how surprised so much of the media has been by the fact that they have embraced a team. Of course, they've embraced a team. It's a city. It's a real, actual city.
It's a real city. And the thing is, and I was thinking about this, but a lot of people who live in Vegas, and this is a very overgeneralization and simplification of their demographics, but there's a lot of people in Vegas who were not born in Vegas.
That is true.
Who have moved to Las Vegas mm-hmm. to make a career, to, you know, and they're raising their families there, but they're not born there. They're not originally from Vegas. So I think they embrace this other team of transplants because it's, you know, they can kind of recognize this idea of, we're coming here and it's a new start, it's a fresh start. And the Golden Misfits is kind of an interesting term, because there's so many people that land in Vegas to make a new start or to have a new career. And it just, like, that whole vibe, I think, just really feeds into it. And I think the people of Vegas can relate to this idea of this sort of misfit team. that's just out there playing their hearts out. And there's going to be a movie someday about this.
Oh, yeah. Probably Absolutely. Several. There will be a documentary and a dramatization, and then there will be a series of 30 for 30. And
oh, yeah, the 30 for 30s, that's got to be a done deal. Mm-hmm. But then let's get back to Washington. Their practices have been crazy. Like, people are just lined up on a Thursday morning, you know, to watch this team play and to give them a hero send-off. You know, there was video out there of the team leaving to get on the plane, and just crowds of people lined up as the players walked out. And, you know, it may be a minor league team to some, or minor league town to some, but not to the fans. I mean, the fans were having huge watch parties, just like Edmonton did last year, where you could go in to the arena and watch the game, and you know, it was packed. And you know, it just mm-hmm. to see the fans get that moment, I'm just as excited for them as I am for the team.
Yeah, you know, actually, DC is another interesting town in kind of the same way that that people don't necessarily think of Washington, D.C. as a place where people live. And I mean, D.C. itself is not super huge, but like that whole area is actually, you know, it's very, very well populated. And there are a lot of people who call that area home and who love that team. And yeah, they do tend to get forgotten. But I think this is a nice visual reminder when you're seeing people lined up like that, that these are real people who live there and who love it and who love their team.
So yeah, the storylines here, it's good storylines. You've got two teams who have never been in the Stanley Cup final before. Well, obviously Vegas, because they weren't even around last year. It's the classic, their Twitter account, which I know annoys some people, but I think is hilarious and I love it.
I still like
it. They said, this date in history, whoops, nothing, because we didn't exist. So you have two teams have never competed before. So it's exciting. This is a really great story. And if you just, for nothing else, like that alone makes this a really compelling series. Mm-hmm. I'm excited, Erica. Can you tell?
I can.
Thank you. And you want to know what's really sad?
What?
I'm going to Disney World next week.
That's right.
And I'm probably not going to be able to watch much of the Stanley Cup final unless I completely ditch my husband and our anniversary plans and our anniversary trip and like go find a sports bar someplace. I'm going to be following on the NHL app like it's my job.
It's very sad that you're describing the happiest place on earth as very sad.
No, I did not plan this well. Let me tell you, I honestly did not plan my wedding well years ago.
Yeah, you should have known that someday a first-year team and a never-made-it team were going to battle each other on
this week.
Or I would have
cared about hockey.
Right, that's true. That's one thing that you probably wouldn't have guessed in the first place.
No, probably wouldn't. All right. So besides the Stanley Cup final, which I'm sure we'll be talking about again, there's lots of other hockey that's been happening and currently happening around the league. We had Worlds, the World Championship, where Sweden came back and won a second year in a row, which was very exciting for them. America, USA battled it out for bronze.
Yep.
Which, you know, was all right. It wasn't bad.
Canada had goaltending problems. That was our issue. Had we had better goaltending and not like, you know, the backup from a team that didn't make it to the Stanley Cup final, I think things would have been better, because scoring wasn't really the problem. It was the defense.
Yeah. The Worlds are weird to me, because players, like, as soon as they're eliminated from the NHL, from the playoffs, like, all of a sudden you'll see a player pop up on a team, like, two days later. So
The most fun about watching the bits of the world that I was able to see, it was on, you know, while I was at work most of the time, so I didn't get to see a lot of it, was getting to hear and witness the announcers see Connor McDavid play and, like, recognize just how ridiculously fast and how ridiculously good he is, because the announcers that we had, at least on our feed, are not guys who call Oilers games almost ever. So there was one particular moment where they, you know, whatever was happening in one end, and then suddenly Connor McDavid, you know, as he does, he gets the puck and he skates super fast to the other end of the ice, and just one of the announcers was just like, and Connor McDavid, whoa, like he really sounded like he was absolutely blown away by like just how fast he was. And then of course they had the obligatory conversation about just how fast he is. Like, wow, he's such a great player, generational, blah, 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 blah. But it was neat to just see that or hear that realization happen in real time, because that's what we've got to hold on to here in Edmonton is the fact that he is not only amazing, but has found his hockey boyfriend in Ryan Nugent Hopkins. I really hope that they get to still be on the same line next year.
Yeah, who saw that coming?
Me.
That was a revelation in worlds watching those two play together. Yeah, you've been a team Nuge for a while.
I know. I have wanted them to be put together since Connor McDavid made the team, and it didn't happen until late this year. So
to listen to Edmonton fans, like, Ryan Nugent Hopkins should have been traded like November.
There were a lot of people that wanted him to go before Eberle, and or Hall, depending on who you talk to. And I know, like, before Connor McDavid came to town, Ryan Nugent Hopkins was my favorite player. He's an intellectual player. He's smart and he's fast. And so is Connor McDavid. So you put those two guys together, and it's just like they're more than the sum of, you know, their parts. It's more that their line is more than the sum of its parts. Let's put it that way.
Well, let's hope the Edmonton coaching staff watch that and will be inspired, because you guys have two new assistant coaches now.
We do.
That was new hires. Mm-hmm. There's been lots of new hires around the league.
Yeah, we actually sniped Calgary's previous head coach, Glenn Gullickson, we now have as an assistant coach. So he didn't have to move too far.
No, hopefully he'll do better in Edmonton than he did in Calgary.
Yeah, I hope so.
Kind of a rough season. Mm-hmm. So that happened. The Worlds happened. That was exciting. You know, Patrick Kane was on that team, and boof. So
that's why I was rooting very hard against them. But
yeah, I honestly didn't watch a whole lot. I watched Sweden and Finland play more than I watched USA play. But it was on in the mornings here, which was kind of cool. So like 10 o'clock in the morning, there would be a hockey game on my television. So on the days, you know, when I was home, that was kind of cool. Sit down with a cup of coffee and watch some morning hockey. I love morning hockey. There should be more morning hockey.
I did stream some on my phone at work one day.
Oh,
don't tell my boss.
Oh, you're in Canada. That's probably like encouraged.
there were people who knew and who didn't care. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, then also there's the Memorial Cup is happening right now, and the Canada's Major Junior Hockey Cup. Mm-hmm. And that is, who's playing for that? It's the Regina Pats and the team that one of our Flyers prospects is on.
Oh.
Germaine Rubstaff, which is, let me see if I thought I had that on.
Is it the Katie Bathurst Titan?
Yes, it's the Titan. So again, I only tangentially follow junior hockey. I like watching the Worlds in December, but I really don't keep up with the Memorial Cup. Other than periodically, you know, Philadelphia media goes a little crazy because one of our prospects is doing well.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I watched. When the Oil Kings went all the way to the Memorial Cup, I watched very closely. But this year, I haven't paid a whole lot of attention because I can't remember if the Oil Kings finished absolutely last, but if it wasn't absolutely last, it was really close. This was not a great year.
Not a good year for Edmonton.
No.
Or affiliates this year. Mm-hmm. All right. Then the Calder Cup, the AHL championship, which has been a little bit more exciting, at least on a personal level, because the Lehigh Valley Phantoms went all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals against the Toronto Marlies, where they got swept by a far superior team. The props to the Marlies, because they were definitely the better team on the ice.
Mm-hmm. But didn't they have a game that had like five overtimes or something?
That was the quarterfinals. They were playing the Carolina Checkers, and it was the longest AHL game in history. It was not the most goal stopped. I think Lyon missed that record by like four or five goals. But
wow.
Yeah, it was like 90-some shots or something. It was insane. But yeah, it went to like 1:30 in the morning. The arena ran out of food.
Wow.
Well, they had like they didn't have anything to like feed the players either, because they went through like all of the, you know, all the food they have in the locker room. So I guess there was a concert or something the next night. So they broke into wherever they had that stocked for the concert, for the dressing rooms for the concert, and brought all of that food into the locker rooms. And I think at one point the management of the arena like just opened up the concession stands and got popcorn for people like who were still there, because it was so late. And it was a one funny story. There was one intern working in the booth who had to go home. He was a high school student because his curfew was midnight.
Oh my goodness.
They said he was getting very anxious at the end because like his mom said he had to be home and the game still wasn't over. And it was insane.
Parents just don't understand.
They don't. So that was very exciting to be a part of that, or to have a team be a part of that moment. I love games like that. I know the players probably don't, but
that's got to be so grueling. I mean, just playing 60 minutes of hockey,
yeah,
and even like one overtime period, those guys just watching the interviews afterwards are just wrecked. But I can't imagine five overtimes.
They just like
five.
I wasn't watching it because, first of all, AHL is very difficult to get anywhere, you know, on television or streaming unless you subscribe to a very, very expensive streaming service, which is like four times the NHL package.
Wow.
But they said like the players were just sluggish and just making like there were shots that they could have made and didn't, or shots that, you know, it was bad because they just were blown out. They were just blown out. They had nothing left. So, but yeah, so that's going on to the finals. The Marlies are going on. I'm not sure if Texas won. I'm not sure who's playing from the Western Conference on that, because honestly, I don't care now that Lehigh's out. Totally honest here. I'm sure it'll be fun. The other thing that was really exciting is there's a bunch of college coaches getting hired in the NHL, which, all right, let's talk about this a little bit, because we've talked about the hierarchy of hockey, and there's because you have the ECHL, which there's a new team. We're going to talk about that too. And then the AHL, then the NHL. So it's like, you know, your major league, your minor league, and your minor league. And then you have, you know, you have your junior hockey hierarchies with the NCAA and the major juniors in Canada and all that sort of thing going on. So it seems like the higher, and in the U.S. we have U.S. hockey, and then we have NCAA. So it would seem to me the hierarchy would be kind of going through that rank of ECHL to AHL, from AHL to NHL. But there's been some teams that have just jumped that, including the Flyers, and have gone to NCAA hockey and pulled college coaches in to teach NHL. Like, not to be assistant coaches, but to jump right into the top job of head coach. So the Flyers have Dave Hackstall, which has been... I'm making a rocky motion with my hand in my head, like, and I'm kind of making this whole kind of body thing. It's had good times and bad times. The Dallas Stars hired Jim Montgomery from the University of Denver, and the New York Rangers just hired David Quinn from Boston University, which they're both very good hockey schools. And Dave Hackstall came from University of North Dakota, which is another really great hockey school. But I'm thinking that's a huge learning curve. It would have to be, from dealing with like college age kids to professional hockey playing men, some, you know, in their 30s and making lots and lots of money. And I'm sure with the attendant egos that go along with that, it baffles me.
I guess, but I think maybe you're overestimating the amount that being used to that, the environment really, really matters. Because, I mean, when we think about it, like with players, players don't have to necessarily work themselves, you know, up through the ranks of each different league. If they're good, they go to, you know, like cream, they float to the top, they float to the level that they belong at. So, you know, you didn't have Connor McDavid sitting around in the Bakersfield Condors and, you know, kicking around in the AHL for a couple of years to season himself, because he was a great player right after the draft. So he just gets to not only play but become the captain. So maybe it's just that, you know, these guys have proved their worth in terms of their ability to be creative and handle systems and teams, and they just get a shot. And I mean, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. I mean, when I got to Edmonton, Dallas Eakins was the coach here, and he had come up from the major juniors. AHL. He was in the Marlies. He was the coach, and that, like, you know, that's the next step down. And he still wasn't that great, and only lasted 18 months. want to say. So
I guess you're right. I don't know. And I guess, because, well, the NCAA and NHL are two different games. And players that come from college and play in the NHL will say that. They're like, it's so much more playing time because there's so many more games. Because the NCAA doesn't, I don't know how many games they play, but it's a college season's worth of games as opposed to an 82-game season. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's a different expectation, I guess, of commitment and time. I don't know. It's, I mean, Dave Haxtell did really well coming in the first, you know, his first year, and he's made some questionable decisions this year that even though they got into the Flyers got into the Stanley Cup Finals, that people have still like, why did he do that? Because a coaching style for the NCAA where you're not only trying to win, but it's still a teaching environment, is completely different from the NHL. And there was a lot of questionable decisions last year that he made of playing players that he felt had earned their time. Not that they were playing well, but, you know, had done the right things and had earned their time, or benching players to teach them a lesson. And I think that's something that you have to do when you're dealing with a kid. Do you know what I mean? Not a professional athlete. So that's, but then again, I also heard on the flip side that the game is getting younger, the game is getting faster. So when you're dealing with, and I know Dallas Stars really had a problem with some of their young players not getting ice time. Because they were dealing with a coach who felt that you needed, with Hitch, that, you know, you needed to earn that time. A young player is not going to develop if he doesn't play. So in dealing with younger, faster players, you need a coach who can be more relatable to that and to develop these kids. So I don't know. I'm wavering back and forth. I mean, surely the NHL knows more than I do, sitting in my basement recording a hockey podcast, but...
You did think, but that, you know, it, we talk over and over again about how much hockey is a game that happens between the ears. Like, it's just, there's a lot of it that's in the head. And I think that goes for the coaches just as well as it does for the players themselves. There's a lot of it comes down to attitude and just, you know, ability to you know, buck up, little camper, when things are going really crappy. You know,
you need to be down with the youth in order to, with the kids today.
So it's always a gamble, because you don't necessarily know how somebody is going to perform under pressure or how somebody's going to perform when things are going well. Sometimes teams and players and coaches blow it when things are on the up, as opposed to being, you know, on the down. They're good at fighting back, but they're not good at staying on top. So it's just going to be interesting to watch and see how those coaches do and how things sort of fare. And also, it's all about the makeup, because you might have a coach who would do great with a team, except for there's like three guys on the team he doesn't get along with. And just, you know, all it takes is just a little bit of friction and it can just throw everything out.
Yep. Sometimes a little friction causes a pearl, and sometimes it causes a lot of caca.
Yep. Yep. That's just the way it goes. So you never know. It's going to be fascinating to see how it does shake out.
It's particularly fascinating to me because you have two teams. So the New York Rangers admittedly is in the middle of a rebuild. They shipped their captain out. They shipped players out. They sent a letter out to their fans saying, we know what we got to do. We got to tear it down and rebuild it back up. And they're taking a chance. And I can see that. Okay, we need to try something different. We need to try something new. But then you have the Dallas Stars, who were almost there. They have all the pieces, but they just need to sort of massage them in the right direction. Because they came very close to getting into the playoffs. They just had a spectacularly bad run at the end. I mean, just really a bad 10-game run. And they had one of their players, Jason Spezza, who reportedly really clashed with Hitch and just was not being played, and his minutes were down and his performance was terrible. So, you know, a couple little things there that could be easily fixed. So you bring in a brand new coach, and you also have sort of the added complication of Tyler Seguin, who is going to be an unrestricted free agent next year. And he really got along with Hitch. Like, he really bought into that system. So now you got rid of a coach that he really liked. You're bringing in an untested, untried coach right at the time when you need to lock him down this year in order to, you know, get him on board, or else risk having risk a John Tavares situation where there's speculation for a year. Is he going to stay? Is he not going to stay? Is he going to go to free agency? Is he going to entertain the options? So it's going to be really interesting watching those two teams, knowing the dynamics around what's happening, to see how the coaching affects that. At least it's going to be fascinating to me. I don't know about anybody else.
I mean, even the assistant coaching staff, I'm going to be interested to just see how Edmonton, if they're able to get some sort of cohesion next season, which they certainly didn't seem to have this past season with this new coaching staff. Will this help smooth things out, or will it make things even rockier? Who knows?
Who knows? That's the most delightful thing about sports. Who knows? Mm-hmm. Either way. All right, just rattling down my list. Oh my gosh, see, this is what happens when we don't have a podcast in a long time.
Yeah, right.
Lots of stuff to talk about. So, USA Hockey.
Being up here in Canada, I have not followed it, so fill me in.
All right, so USA Hockey just this past week announced the hiring of an assistant executive director of hockey operations.
Okay.
Pretty significant post. So they hired a Mr. John Vandesbroek, who very infamously in 2003 stepped down as the general manager and the coach of the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds for using a racial slur to describe the then captain of the team, Trevor Daley, Detroit Red Wings, several times to his teammates. Yes, it was really an ugly situation, to the point where Trevor Daley actually quit the team.
Oh,
temporarily.
My goodness.
Yeah, like just left. So anyway, he left. He was given a $50,000 fine, or the Greyhounds were given a $50,000 fine, which at that point was the biggest fine ever in OHL history.
Wow.
And
good.
So he was hired for this, and people have sort of, it's caused a huge, huge divide, at least among the hockey media that I follow. Craig Constance on The Athletic did a really nice piece on that. And there's one camp that says this is a really high profile position, and regardless, was there no one else? Was this really the best option? Could you have found in all of hockey landia, could you not have found somebody else for the position that did not have this background? And on the other side, you have the camp saying that was 15 years ago. He has apologized. He's been repentant. Should he not be given a second chance? And then you have people saying, at the very least, very high-profile people saying, at the very least, USA Hockey should have reached out to somebody either Trevor Daley, and saying, can we get some input on this? Can we address this head-on? Because John Vandesbroek addressed it in his press conference when he was announcing it. I do regret it. I shouldn't have said it. I think about it every single day. But it was not seen to, like, this decision was not seen to be vetted by, and there's nobody of African American or Black descent or in USA Hockey at that upper level that they could have vetted this to and maybe said, is this like the good decision to make? And I don't know. Like, part of me wants to think that, well, first of all, nobody says that word by accident. Like, you have to make a conscious decision to say that. That should not be in anybody's brain that is going to slip out accidentally, like, oops, I said something super offensive. But part of me says, yes, you should be able to make sincere amends for something. Like, hopefully this would change you as a person. This horrible thing that you did would change you as a person, and you should be able to say, you should be able to move past something, because I can be kind like that sometimes. But there's been no real indication that he has. Like, he's not
Yeah, that was going to be my question. Like, okay, so has he done work for charities that work with, you know, racial stereotypes and work on...
Right, created a program or volunteered time. Not that I've been able to discern, other than I'm really sorry and I said I was sorry and I apologize, like that sort of repentance. So, yeah, I haven't seen any tangible, like, I'm going to become a different person and make amends. So, yeah, even if he had, done all of that, and even if he was truly repentant, had, I don't know, sponsored minority kids to join hockey programs, if he had done the best thing possible, he may be the right guy for the job, but I don't think he's the right guy for the job right now, because there's been so many incidents this year of players being harassed, and incidents, ugly fan incidents against players of color.
Yeah.
It's just, the optics of this are terrible.
The NHL and hockey in general, USA Hockey, NHL, like even major juniors, like it's very tone deaf, it seems, still, which is, rough.
Even like having Kid Rock at the All-Star game, you know, it's like, come on. Tone deaf is a really, really good, term for it. I just don't think they're reading the room.
They're very much in their ivory tower. They are
literal ivory tower.
Yeah, like mostly middle aged to older white men of privilege with lots and lots of money. So they're not seeing things even from the same perspective that we are, and we are white women of privilege who are, you know, not making the kind of money those guys are, but still, like, we live pretty comfortable lifestyles, and even it's the perspective is so vastly different. And you're right, they don't have a reality check, they don't have somebody to tell them what this looks like from, you know, the rest of the world, and that's why they keep making moves like this that look really terrible. And yeah, from a personal standpoint, do I think that each person who makes a mistake deserves a chance to apologize and be repentant and do better? Yes, I do. But guess what? USA Hockey is a business, and a business has to worry about the way that the rest of the world is going to see that business when it's a business that is in the public eye, which it very much is. And so, yeah, I think this was a terrible decision, because you're right. Hockey's a very big world. There are a lot of really talented people on the ice and off the ice, and the idea that they couldn't find somebody else who would do just as well in that job that wouldn't give them the huge optics problem is completely baffling to me. I mean, any other industry where you have actual, like, really good PR people who know what they're doing, that wouldn't happen. Like, you wouldn't do that. Or even, you know, at a smaller level, if I owned a small business and I wanted to put somebody in my local commercials, would I put somebody in my local commercials who had done something like that, even if they had done it a long time ago, even if they were sorry for it? No, I wouldn't, because I don't want my small business to fail. And I feel like this is exactly the same kind of thing. It's just on a bigger level.
Yeah, and if I were a player of any kind of minority stepping into this, I'd wonder. I would really wonder. Like, does it matter? Did it make a difference? Does anybody really care? Or do they just think, you know, we're colorblind, nobody sees race anymore because there's no racial issues? Well, guess what? Welcome to 2018, people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really, I'm definitely on the camp of this was a bad decision. It was a really bad decision, and I just find it so hard to believe that there's nobody else out there that could do this job. There has to be somebody else. There's a lot of talented people out there,
and somebody who doesn't bring that kind of baggage.
Yeah, not good at all. All right, let's move on to something more positive, because USA Hockey is a trash fire right now. There's a new team on the horizon. Was just announced, and it's got a dog as a logo and a mascot. Oh, my heart. It is the Newfoundland. I want to say Newfoundland, and you're saying it's Newfoundland.
It's Newfoundland.
Mm-hmm. Newfoundland Growlers.
Yes, not an NHL team, I'm quick to add.
No, it is not. It is not even an AHL team. It is an ECHL team. So, again, third tier. But they have the most adorable logo, and it's like it's a very severe picture of a Newfoundland dog. That
a newfie.
Yeah. Oh my. And they're so adorable, and big, and
they're huge and scary.
But no, they're delightful.
They are nice dogs. I had a friend with two of them. They're intimidating in their size.
They are, but they're just lovable and slobbery. But anyway, the colors of the logo were actually taken from a print because the Newfoundland dog was the mascot of a World War I regiment from Newfoundland land. And so they took this picture of the dog and sort of made that the colors of that, the tones of that, the colors of the team and the logo. So it's a good logo. It's a good logo. But this team is only the second ECHL team in Canada because apparently it's not a big thing up there.
Mm-mm.
And it is going to be eventually, it's not yet, but will be affiliated with Toronto. So it'll be the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Toronto Marlies ECHL affiliate. And the other one is the Brampton Beasts, who are affiliated with Montreal Canadiens.
Okay.
And what perplexes me about this is the Athletic did, and I do harp on the Athletic because I really, really enjoy that website. And it's behind a paywall, so I apologize. But it's well worth the introductory year if you can get the price. They recently did an article on somebody traveled with an ECHL team for a long weekend, and it was grueling. I do take some issues with the article talked about the Reading Rain, who is our local ECHL team, about how terrible Reading is. And like Reading's in the middle of Lancaster. Like it's not the inner city. I had to laugh when they talked about it being 40 below. I'm like, it's Pennsylvania. It's never 40 below zero.
Wow.
Like you were confused here or maybe exaggerated slightly. Yeah, but anyway, regardless, they talked about being with the ECHL team for like a weekend road trip and just how like there's no money. They're on this like sort of beat down broke bus and just the travel. It is like base elemental hockey. I think the players get like $500 a month or something ridiculous. It's a really low rent sort of proposition. And Newfoundland, you need to fly to get there. You cannot take the bus to get there. So I don't know. How is this like, where's the budget coming from all this extra travel now to get to play this team, which was
That's
the problem.
Interesting.
Yeah, that was the problem with the previous team, which was the St. John Ice Caps, which is affiliated with the Montreal Canadiens. That was their AHL team. They actually left and became, another team, something like Cavalier Rockets or something like that, who moved closer to Montreal. They're right outside Montreal now because it was such a pain in the neck to pull people up from their AHL affiliate to get to Montreal because they had to get on a plane and, you know, it wasn't a hop and a skip.
Not to mention the time zone confusion. Newfoundland has its own time zone, which is a half an hour different from the Atlantic time zone. Yep. So when you're listening to Canadian, like CBC, it'll be like, you know, blah, 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 you know, like 8 p.m. in blah, 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 8:30 in Newfoundland.
That's weird.
Yep.
How can it be a half hour?
It's a half hour. It is a half hour off because they're kind of like the island is kind of like in the middle of the next time zone over. So yeah, we have 5.5 time zones in Canada.
Yeah. It's the Laval Rockets. I mispronounced that. Yeah, I never knew that. Okay, a half hour different. So yeah, so it's a whole different. You're in a whole different time zone.
It's a different world.
Yeah, really. Mm-hmm. That's strange, bizarro world. So anyway, they'll be curious to see how that happens. But ECHL hockey is fun. I have seen a couple of those games streamed. It's so apparent, though, because I was watching some of the, actually our local NBC Sports Network were playing the Phantoms. We're showing the latter part of the Phantoms games against the Marlies because it was the Eastern Conference Finals. And watching an AHL team play after watching the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, what a difference.
A little bit of a difference there?
A difference. Oh, it was a completely different game. Completely different. All right. I'm going to close this out, close out our regular segment here with the Beginner's Puck Bracket Challenge.
Oh, geez.
Have you looked at our bracket challenge lately?
No, I haven't. I haven't actually looked at it since because I signed up at the last minute and basically just went click, 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 click. I wasn't even thinking about what I was clicking. So I haven't even gone back in because I didn't care.
All right. Guess what? Hmm? We suck at picking bracket challenges.
Oh, dear.
There were 17 people who joined our league, the mm-hmm. Beginner's Puck League. We are currently sitting at 16th and 17th out of 17.
Am so I 17?
You were 17. I am Hurrah! 7 whole points ahead of you. Your husband is only 6 points ahead of me.
Oh, wow.
So, I know. And he's like the smartest hockey person I know. Kat K. Biaz. Cat, whatever your name is supposed to be, I applaud you because you are sitting at 264 points.
Wow.
Out of a possible 364, and there's still 100 points to go, depending on...
Hey.
Yeah, so...
Good luck.
Bracket's looking really good. So, yeah, I was really sad at how bad I was at this.
I am so not sad. I actually, I feel like I've accomplished something by being the very last. So I'll take it.
I don't know. This just, I didn't pick the bracket of my heart. I picked the bracket. I should have gone with my heart because my heart would have had Vegas and Washington in the finals.
Ah, yeah. See, you should have.
I should have gone with my heart. And I went with the bracket. In fact, it's called Dead's Bracket to Win is my name. And I have Boston.
LOL.
Yeah, I had Boston going all the way. You had Nashville, yeah. Which is respectable.
Did I?
But
oh,
yeah. Nope.
Wow.
Oh, and there's somebody that had Toronto. Bless their heart.
Also, LOL.
Yeah. His team name is Roberto's Dream, so someday, Roberto, we're with you. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So that was fun. We were terrible at it, but it was a good time picking that. Maybe next year.
Next year I say we both do the actual bracket of our heart instead
bracket
of me
of
randomly
heart.
Randomly frantically clicking to get in under the wire and you trying to win.
Yeah, I actually had Anaheim going a little further, and I hate Anaheim. I just want them to die in a fire.
Yeah. You made that compromise and karma got you.
I did. Karma got me for Anaheim. All right. So I'm going to break from tradition here. Mm. Are you ready?
Okay.
Normally, this would be the time that we would transition with a snazzy theme song into a What the Puck or hashtag Old Hockey or Say What Now segment. Mm-hmm. But this has been a pretty long episode because we had a lot of things to cover. So I say we just throw all this over to Snoop Dogg.
You got to explain what you mean by that.
Okay. So in case you haven't noticed, the NHL has been putting up little 2-3 minute videos with Mr. Snoop Dogg, Dog Cherry, as he likes to call himself, who is doing a Hockey 101 series. In case you don't know anything about hockey, which personally I think is brilliant, considering there is a brand new team on the horizon who could potentially take this home. So maybe this brought some new hockey fans in who need a little more explaining on the rules of things and what exactly is icing and offsides and all that stuff. Basically, all the stuff we normally do in our What the Puck segment. Snoop Dogg has done it in video form.
That's awesome.
I say we let him do the heavy lifting this time.
That's a good idea. Should put the link in the show notes.
We will put the link in the show notes, so check out our show notes, and we will give you a link to Dog Cherry's Explaining Hockey, which is really very quite amusing.
Should also point out that Dog Cherry, I assume, is a reference to Don Cherry, who is I'm not going to use the word beloved. He's a well-known Canadian hockey pundit. He was a very successful coach, and he's a bit of a divisive figure when it comes to...
He's a trash fire.
He's a dinosaur. He's very old school rock'em sock'em hockey, which is not my thing.
No.
But, he's well known.
Suits. He's known for suits.
Yep.
Crazy suits. Yeah, he and Mike Milbury should just go live on an island and replay the glory years on VHS tape. So anyway, yes, he's the dog cherry of hockey, and he is here for you. So we're going to let Snoop Dogg do the heavy lifting. We'll put a note in the show notes, and I suggest you check out their videos because they're kind of fun. And yeah, maybe you might learn something that we haven't taught you. And if you have any questions or something that you still don't understand, drop us a tweet, and we'll see if we can explain it further. All right, so Erica, let's close this out with a hockey tidbit because this has been a marathon, unlike the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah, I am going to talk about, and we've talked about hockey commercials before, but I'm going to mention two specific hockey commercials that are specific to the Stanley Cup playoffs. You get different commercials during the playoffs, which are, I think, really fun. They tend to do a new one almost every year, I think. And I haven't actually seen a new one this year, so I'm wondering if there's going to be one like just during the final stretch, during the last... Or maybe there's one that I have just somehow missed. But there are a couple that I will point out. There's one that that you mentioned to me, Deb. It's the No Words Stanley Cup Final ad. And the fact that this says Stanley Cup Final makes me think that maybe there is going to be one coming for 2018. This is one from 2010, which is just like, it's a quick 30-second commercial. We will also put a link in the show notes of like interviews of players throughout the years just after they've won the Stanley Cup, and the fact that they can't actually find words because it's such a big deal. The cup is it means so much to so many people that they just have no words, which I think is wonderful. And it's kind of the opposite of the other ad, which was last year's Stanley Cup spelling ad, which I love because it's not all words, it's all letters. It has a bunch of players, 23 legendary players, spelling out their last names, because when you get your name on the cup, like it's somebody actually like, you know, chisels or engraves those letters of your name onto the cup. It's pretty amazing. So it's just this commercial that kind of goes back and forth between a bunch of different people spelling their names, and the pride that they have in their voices when they are talking about it. It is just amazing. And it's hilarious to me that they filmed two different versions of that commercial, because here in Canada, Wayne Gretzky's name is spelled G-R-E-T-Z-K-Y, whereas there's a version in the States where he spells it the American way with a Z instead of a Z, and that makes me giggle.
That is a really good hockey tidbit. I love that. Oh, Canada, with your Zeds.
Hey, we aren't the ones that changed it. Zed is the original name. Talk to Daniel Webster about calling it a Z. Just saying.
Okay, I will do. Will do. Oh, we have so much good stuff to look forward to. And I know there's this gaping, sort of yawning abyss ahead of us where there's no new hockey. I mean, realistically, we could be down to only 4 hockey games left.
That's possible.
It is possible. It's unlikely. But
especially considering how it's gone. I suspect it will be a longer series than that, right, and it will just go back and forth.
All right, so 4-7. We are 4-7 games away from no more hockey until October, maybe some preseason games in September. And it just, my heart is clenching. Like, physically, I'm having a pain.
But, well, there will be some tournaments and stuff in the middle.
Oh, there should be summer hockey. But there is something that is keeping me excited. There's the draft coming up, which is yawnsville, honestly, because, you know,
you're not in it.
Well, yeah, and once you get past like the top three, is there anybody really that exciting? I mean, they're good soccer, they're good hockey boys, you know, and someday they'll be good hockey players. But, you know, it's like last year we were all excited because we had, you know, the number 2 pick, so it was like, what's gonna happen? This year it's like, oh, the draft, it's a thing, it'll be fine. Mm-hmm. But what's really exciting me is free agency, which as of July 1st, everything opens up. And it's
feeding
not
frenzy.
It is going to be a feeding frenzy. And not so much that, first of all, what's Tavares going to do, for God's sake? He's running out of time.
I just want people to stop talking about it. So please just decide and make it over.
Sign a contract. Well, we didn't talk about this, but Lou Lamoriello has been brought on from the Toronto Maple Leafs, and they're thinking that's going to solidify. I don't know. We're not even talking about John Tavares. I'm bored with it. And we haven't even talked about it here on the show. Hard to listen about it. But we have free agency coming up. But the free agency for 2019, the class of 2019 in free agency, is crazy cakes. It is crazy cakes. So you have all of these players who are eligible for contract extensions as of July 1st. And you have also, and I'm just going to give you just a couple names, like Sergei Bobrovsky and Pekka Rinne and Drew Doughty, Erik Karlsson, Logan Couture, wow. Matt Duchene, Jordan Eberle, Joe Pavelski, Marc-Andre Fleury, Tyler Seguin, Jeff Skinner, like Blake Wheeler. Yes. Oliver Ekman-Larsson.
Like, these are big names.
Huge names. Mark Mathot, Derek Brassard. Yeah, like Max Pacioretty. I mean, we're not talking third and fourth liners here. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of Wayne Simmonds. Wow. I'm just running. I'm on Spotrac website and just running down this list of names. So all of these players, there's going to be the question mark. Are they going to get locked into an extension? If not, will they be traded this year so their teams get some value for them before they hit free agency next year? So I have a feeling it's going to be a bit of a chum going on come July. That's just my gut feeling. So you're going to have a situation with a lot of these players, if they're not locked down, you have a John Tavares situation where there's going to be speculation all year long. Are they going to stay? Are they going to go? Are they going to be traded? What's going to happen? The uncertainty of it is giving me life, I got to tell you. I'm so excited for this. Yeah, and then you got a bunch of young kids coming up. I mean, the Toronto Maple Leaf crew, I mean, they're up for contract. You know, they're eligible for a contract extension. So how are they going to manage their cap space? Because there are some people that are going to be looking for some money, some big contracts with Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner, William Nylander. Yeah, there's the administrative details of hockey are going to keep me entertained for a while. Even though there's no actual hockey being played.
Administrivia for the win.
Yes, because as you all know, that's when I fell in love with hockey, was through the administrivia.
Yep.
All right. I think that's good. This has been a supersized
It has. Episode. I feel like we've sort of, you know, to make up for our long absence, we brought you more.
So much more. And there will be more to come.
Mm-hmm.
So you have been listening to Beginner's Puck. And remember, hockey is for everyone, especially for you. Beginner's Puck is a Castria production for the Incomparable Network. Our catchy theme tune is Ephemeral by Sunspot. Have a hockey question you'd like us to discuss on an upcoming episode? Reach out to us on Twitter at BeginnersPuck or email us at beginnerspuck@gmail.com. And you can find all of our extensive show notes at theincomparable.com/puck.